Section 4, send in the return online. Next, I want to look at what to do when sending the return online and how to avoid any potential problems that we might encounter. Before I log on to file the actual PAY returns, I will have run through my own checklist, ensuring that I have the necessary information, including the details for all the employees who have to be included on the return. Also, that the payroll deductions reconciles with the payments made to HMRC, or that I'm clear about any manual amendments and the effect on the returns I am about to file. Another of my checks will involve national insurance numbers, because we have to remember that we are not allowed to use a temporary national insurance number on the annual PAY returns. If we do not have a national insurance number for any employee, we must include details of their gender and date of birth. So do we have that information to hand? When we file the employer annual return online, it will be checked against HMRC's quality standard to make sure the information we have provided is in the correct format. If a return is rejected, we must correct it and file it successfully before the 19th of May 2011 deadline in order to avoid having to pay a penalty. That is another reason for not leaving this until the last minute. Turning to the actual sending of the online return, we can expect fairly quick response times, both for internet acceptance and for any rejection messages. This will normally be within about a minute, so we should soon know that the job is done or that we have to make a correction. However, larger files will take longer. Therefore, this may require some patience, and we should not assume that the filing has failed and try again. Online filing through EDI does take much longer because of the size of the files. And the advice is that if a response is not received, then an employer using EDI should contact the online help desk or their EDI account manager. Employers should not attempt to resend the file until it is known that the first submission has not been received, because that could result in duplicate submissions that will create further problems for the employer at a later date. We must always keep a copy of the acceptance message, because I know from experience that we may need that later in the year if HMRC issues a penalty notice for non-submission of the return. Some more good advice is to always send the P35 as the last online submission, because this will allow for amending any P14s that have already been sent before the P35 return is accepted by HMRC as a complete return. No further amendments can be made after the P35 return has been accepted by HMRC, which would mean that any corrections would have to be made by writing to the tax office to explain. There are some special points to note for larger employers who send their returns in parts. The first being that each part must have a unique identifier when it is submitted to HMRC. This will avoid later parts overwriting the parts that were sent earlier. Next, we have to remember that we will be required to confirm how many parts were sent when we complete Part 5 of the P35 Employer Annual Return. Do not confuse the number of parts with the number of P14s. It is said that someone once told HMRC that they'd send thousands of parts, when of course it was thousands of P14s. Also, we should remember that the number of parts does not include the P35 return itself, so that if we submit, say, 5 parts for the 5 branches around the country, plus then submit the P35, we will be notifying on Part 5 of the P35 that we have sent 5 parts, not 6. If we're using commercial software, we may be able to send a test submission to HMRC, and we will receive a message saying that the return has been successful. But please don't forget that we will still need to file it properly, because the test submission will not count as submitting the return. Personally, I don't use test submissions. I do it once and make sure it's correct. Section 5, summary. As I've already said in the first part of this podcast, the completion and filing of the employer annual PAY returns, the P35 and the P14s, is both an important and an onerous task, which is made more difficult because we only do it once a year. The P38A is a form that often gets overlooked and also has to be filed with HMRC by the 19th of May deadline. It is optional as to whether we submit the P38A online or download a paper form and send it to HMRC. I prefer the online filing. The P38S, which I mentioned in the other podcast, does get overlooked because the form has to be retained by the employer for 3 years plus the current year, and it doesn't have to be sent to HMRC. But that's not a reason for not getting the form filled in at the right time. Students should sign the form, complete the details when they first start working, and the employer has to complete the employer declaration at the end of the tax year or when the student leaves. Well, I hope that this podcast will help guide you through the necessary preparation checks and balances. But can I say that the AAT CPD Master Courses, which will be held in London on the 26th of February and in Bristol on the 28th of March, will be another opportunity to look at these procedures, but over the course of a day, that will be in more detail than I'm allowed through the podcast. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I do hope to meet some of you at your branch meetings or on the CPD Master Courses. Goodbye.